You know, last Sunday I talked about how we handle our anger towards God. I told you that we deal our anger in two different ways. First of all, with God at first, and the second one is our anger with each other. So this is two-part series, and I preached on ABCs of how to handle our anger at God. And this is what I said, ABC. A stands for avoid bad theology. From time to time, we are angry at God for no reason, not grounded in the scripture, just going with our feelings or whatever we heard from the people. So we need to be grounded in the Word of God before we even get angry at God. The B stands for be humble in anger. God is gracious enough to allow us to express our anger towards Him, but when you do it, make sure that you do in humility, not in arrogance. Although He is our Heavenly Father, He is never equal to us. He is the Creator Almighty, and we are the creatures. And C stands for choose to trust in God, not your own feelings. We are quick to jump into conclusion when bad things or whatever things happen to us. But, you know, I'd rather trust in God who gives us a promise that in due time He makes all things beautiful for those who love Him rather than my own feelings. So that's what I talked about last Sunday. Today I'm doing part two of the two series on anger. How do we control our anger towards each other? It seems to me we are dealing with this type of anger more so than the anger at God. I think you would agree with me if I said anger plays a big role in our lives, sometimes more than we wish it to. It often negatively affects individuals, families and communities and even nations. Since the beginning of the world, anger has been shaping human history. In fact, if you look at the history, many wars and personal conflicts are triggered by anger. Think of Hitler, for example. The scholars who studied Hitler's life say that he was filled with bitterness in his growing years, that he would fly into temper at the slightest things. And one man caused so many lives to be lost. Millions of lives were lost. What about the Virginia Tech shooting? If you remember, one image etched permanently in my mind. You remember his point, you know, pointing this way with the picture? You know, Virginia shooting guy, tech guy. And whatever happened, but the man was full of anger. A couple of days ago, I was reading newspaper, New York Times, and the article was comparing three cities in the States, Los Angeles and Chicago and, of course, New York City. In terms of violence, it was pointing out why Chicago, the size of Brooklyn in terms of population in New York, has more violent crimes than New York City. And it was pointing out, of course, you know, gun violence amongst the gang members. And as I was reading it, and there's one thing for sure, whoever kills each other full of anger and resentment for whatever causes. There are plenty of cause, you know, reasons and the stories about why people get angry with each other and the way they, you know, resolve their issue. I looked up in the Bible in terms of, you know, how do we handle our anger towards each other, and anger appears in the Bible about 80 times, human anger. And I also noticed in the Bible, divine anger appears 310 times, almost four times more than human anger. That's why I said last Sunday, this topic alone, the divine anger and God's wrath, no matter how little we want to think of it, we must study and understand why the Bible talks about divine anger all the time. Now, most of us don't want to think about God's anger and God's wrath, because we don't want to think about that. But you know, without full understanding of God's and divine anger, you will never be able to understand why Jesus has to come in the first place. Okay, that's another topic, but that's the reason why we need to get into the Word of God. Now, one thing I learned anew from the study on anger, this topic is this. It is quite normal, let me repeat, it is normal for us to feel angry and get angry at times for the following two reasons. So it is okay for us to get angry. It is not okay if you say, oh, God never wants us to be angry. No, that's not biblical. You see what I'm talking about? Getting angry itself is not a sin. Okay? Some of us told that, no, 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 don't get angry. It's a sin against God. That's not biblical. That's what I'm talking about. Avoid bad theology. Okay? Now, I told you that for the two reasons God allows us to get angry. The first one is that He Himself, the Lord Himself, gets angry from time to time with some type of wicked people and at some types of evil. Here's one. The Lord God was provoked to anger. He always is and gets provoked to anger by idol worship. When the people of God follow and go after other gods, the Heavenly Father gets angry. Okay? Now what about the Lord Jesus Christ? He also got angry with the following four. He got angry with people's religious leaders' hypocrisy. He doesn't like that. He also got angry with commercialism in God's temple. He got also angry with the people with stubborn heart. And number four, he got angry with the people who have unbelief in God's miracles and faith. Okay? So that's the first reason. If the Lord gets angry, He allows us to get angry too. The second reason I discovered in the Bible is that anger is a natural part of our emotions, like joy and peace and, you know, happiness and mad and sorry, all these things. It's just part of our emotions. That's how God created us. He made anger as a built-in part of human emotions. Therefore, the good news is that God acknowledges the legitimacy of our anger. So don't spread the word, to get angry is a bad thing. No, you, from time to time, we have to, right? The bottom line, the tricky thing is that as much as God acknowledges the legitimacy of anger, if you read today's passage one more time, Ephesians 4:26, be angry, yet do not sin. That's the thing. You know, commands us, Bible commands us to be angry, but do not sin. That's the tricky part. That's my sermon is all about this morning. So think of yourself, how often do you get angry? After the first service today, one person came to me, you know, I never get angry. I said, good for you. Almost like God to me. We all get angry, right? What makes you angry? Now, scholars study on this topic, right? And they say at least three things. When these things happen to us, we get angry. Our anger is ignited. Number one, when you feel rejected. Have you been rejected? And here's one example. Let's say I'm raising two kids, okay, in my family, child A and child B. And somehow as parents, I love child A, but I don't love the child B as much as I love child A. And how would you feel if you're child B feels like my parent, my father is practicing so-called favoritism and that makes me angry because I feel rejected, right? Another reason we feel angry is when our essential needs are unmet. If you study the human history, especially that's example of, you know, communism. Have you noticed that communism, the idea of Karl Marx, thrives in the area where people are impoverished? Have you noticed that? When people, normal, ordinary folks, when their essential needs, basic necessities were not met, and they get angry and frustrated with the system, and they say, I want to try anything, including the communists. Okay? That's when they get angry. Third reason, they say, when your convictions are violated, that's when you feel really, really angry. Well, I don't think you need more explanation on that. Those three things. I think as far as we live in our physical body, you and I perhaps will never be able to entirely avoid occasions of being angered. However, what we can learn is this. How do we handle our anger, both constructively and biblically, so that we may live a healthy life, not only emotional health, but physical health, and also so that we may preserve our relationships with one another? I noticed that in the Bible, the way people handle their anger, three types of people, and three ways to handle our anger. Number one, some people vent their anger onto others. Number two, they just keep the anger within themselves. Number three, they carry their anger to the Lord. Three types of the way we handle our anger. First, we vent out, some of us vent our anger on others, especially on our enemies. And this approach often appears in the form of rage. It is the anger that is uncontrolled and dangerous. And secondly, sometimes we bury our anger deep in our hearts. And this is the anger suppressed and held down in our hearts. And thirdly, some of us take our anger to the Lord. And let's check out these approaches one by one. Number one, vent out on others. Many of people take this approach. When people are wronged by others, they put revenge in their own hands. And this has been a long tradition in human history, as far as we can remember. I talked about Cain, the first son of Adam and Eve. He was so consumed with rage because he felt like his offering was rejected, and he took it very personally, rejected by God, and he, you know, just lashed his out anger on his innocent brother Abel and killed him in the field when two of them were alone in the field. You see, the form of revenge could be different, emotional and mental and financial and verbal and even physical punishment, but the goal is always the same. What is the goal? To get even and to bring some type of punishment to those who harmed us. It may seem fair to us to put the revenge in our own hands, but in reality, folks, it may only worsen the situation. If you think of the eye for eye, tooth for tooth principle, okay? If you think of the Israeli as well as Palestinian situation, you know, my heart goes out to them, both of the countries and both peoples, but seems like there's no way out because they just vent each other's anger on each other day after day and year after year, and it's been over 50 years and still going on. Hatred, violence. What's the second approach? Bury within. This is the way people take sometimes to bury it deep down within themselves and suppress it. And this can not only be subtle, but also very destructive. We hardly notice outside any symptoms of anger. However, deep inside, we carry it and we bury it for years. Now, this approach is more dangerous, in my humble opinion, and harmful than the first approach. Why? Because it eats us up from within and eventually affects our health, sometimes bringing us cancer. Now, I want you to think of any situation where abusive situation happening. There are two parties involved, abuser as well as the abused, or the victimizer and the victim. Have you noticed that years later of this abusive going on, it is always, seems to me, the victims who come up with the cancer? That's what I'm talking about. These victimizers somehow, you know, just getting along fine because they constantly lash out. I'm not recommending you to venting out on others, okay? What I'm saying is that there's a danger. If you carry the anger inside all the time, there's always possibility, high possibility, that you may come up with a cancer. So that's not healthy either. Seems to me there are two potential dangers associated with this type of approach, bearing in. Either you could be suicidal or you could fall into depression. I remember in 1990, if you remember, you know, in America, Lincoln Savings and Loan Scandal broke out big time. A lot of people lost the money. And there was a man whose name was Elliot. I think it was the last name. He lost his life savings, total of $200,000. It doesn't seem, you know, sound too much today, but in 1990, it was a big chunk of money. He lost all the money, his savings, on worthless junk bonds. He became so bitter about the whole situation that he eventually took his own life. Anger within could lead you to suicide. The second danger of anger buried within us, I said, is depression. A good example is Saul, the king of Israel. Did you know that he was the first king in Israel's history? David followed, he was the second king. Solomon followed, he was the third king. Saul was the first king. At first, he was a fine king. He was a warrior too. He defeated many enemies of Israel in battle, except one. Goliath, you heard of it, the giant, the 10-foot-tall giant from the enemy Philistines. When David, young David, came out and killed Goliath and led Israel to victory, people began to shout in the ears of Saul, David killed more than Saul. David killed more than Saul. Now, this comparison haunted Saul for the rest of his life. Angry with his own inability and cowardice, Saul was so consumed with jealousy of David's fame and popularity that he fell into depression and stayed in such misery for the rest of his life. The repressed anger and jealousy inside trapped this fine king in permanent depression. I talked about two approaches, you know, vent out on others or just suppress it and carry it within yourself. Third approach is take it to the Lord in prayer. And this is the approach to take our anger to the Lord in prayer. Not angry at God, but ask God, Lord, please take care of this anger that I carry. In fact, in my humble opinion, this is the healthiest and the most constructive way to handle our anger. It may require your faith and trust and discipline and patience, but it surely is rewarding. Now, if you'd like to take this approach instead of the first two, listen very carefully for the following commands from the Lord, directly taken from the Word of God. Four things. I just put in an acronym, SLOW, S-L-O-W. The S stands for slow to anger. God commands us to be like God, imitate Him even in the business of anger. As God is slow to anger, God commands us to be slow in anger. How can we slow in anger? By being compassionate with each other. You know, I'm going to be 60 this December. One thing good about getting older, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, there are physical limitations, so forth, you know, that humbles me. I think what happens to me is that I begin to understand more and give a room more room to others, you know, in terms of compassion. I begin to understand more and I begin to, you know, show more compassion to those folks, and myself included. Slow to anger. What's the L stands for? Let go and let God. We always love this phrase, let go and let God, but it's from the Bible. Let God take over your anger. Did you know that the Bible clearly points out that it is God, not you, not I, who should take revenge on our enemies? Listen again what God says, Romans 12:19. Vengeance is mine, the Lord says. I will repay. I'm so glad that it is God who says, no, 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 it's mine, not yours. Can you imagine God telling us, okay, everyone, vengeance is yours. Do whatever you want to do. We would kill each other in no time. Right? I'm so glad that God says, no, 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 it's not your thing. I'll take care of it. Let go and let God take over your anger. Number three, O stands for overcome evil with good. Bible says that pray for your enemies, bless them in your prayers instead of cursing them, and do something good to your enemies, especially when they are in trouble. Now listen to the word of God one more time. In today's text, Romans chapter 12, verse 20. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Isn't it oxymoron? By doing good to your enemy, God says that's actually, heaping burning coals on the head of your enemy. Do not be overcome by anger, but overcome your anger with trusting the Lord and obeying His word. Please allow me to share my personal story in here. You know, I was in the military in Korea. Some of you remember this story before. And because I was just appointed, stationed in a new, company, I was reporting to my duty, and the guy who received me looked at me from the top to the bottom, and the words that came out of my mouth shocked me. He says, "I don't like you." I never met this guy. And he says, "I'll make your life miserable." Next words. And third word he says, "I'll make your day like a year." I got the message. Oh boy, this guy doesn't like me. Sure enough, he was very faithful, keeping his promise. For the next year, my life was miserable. One particular night, he climaxed on one night. He singled me out and he called me out in front of about 20, 30 soldiers, right? Watching. And he started punching on my chest with his fist several times. I mean, just very powerful punch. And I thank God that he built me just, good rib cage. If I had taken the x-ray, perhaps there were some cracks here and there. For the next few days, I couldn't breathe. Each time I breathe, it just hurts me so much. But anyway, it happened one night, and the following day, I heard a news about this guy. Someone told me that, so-and-so, the guy who punched you last night, he's sick, like a dog, in bed, and his head is swollen twice, his face swollen twice bigger, because he has a gum disease, an infection in his gums. When I first heard that story, I said, "Praise God. Thank God." Seriously, folks. Wouldn't you feel the same way? And then, after a few seconds of enjoying this, God slowly spoke to me, quietly, the Holy Spirit. "Why don't you visit this man? Because he cannot eat, he cannot chew soft, bread and milk." That's the idea God gave me. And I said, "Lord, why? Why should I? Let me enjoy a little longer." That's what I told him. But you know who wins? The Lord wins. So eventually I got, just a carton of milk as well as bread and stopped by to see him and pray for him. The amazing thing is this. I didn't like, if you still ask me, "Did you really do all with your heart with gladness?" No. But I just wanted to obey, even though I don't like it. God says, "Go and visit this guy." I said, "Lord, even though I don't like it, I will do it." I did it. It did an amazing thing. This worst enemy of mine turned into the best friend just overnight. One single incident when I obeyed the Lord and God's word, "Lord, I'll do it because you asked me to," did just create a wonder. Beyond my imagination, I would never dream that this guy turned out to be best friend just overnight. Why? Because one single thing, overcome evil with good. And I learned a lesson. Lord, I understand now why you say that. It brings the miracle in our lives. Can you imagine if I hadn't obeyed the Lord that day and carried the resentment, anger for the rest of 40 some years? I would be still miserable. But do I have any anger against this guy? No, not at all. Because God commanded me to and I obeyed, and that made a wonder. I talked about slow, S-L-O, and the W stands for work it out in reconciliation. Work it out. We are all in relationships one way or another, with our marriage relationship, with our children, with our parents and friends or coworkers and whatnot. The key word is work it out, reconcile after the exchange of angry arguments. I don't know about you. We all have angry arguments from time to time, right? I believe More than half of the troubled marriage, for example, in America, could have been saved or can be saved if the spouses learn how to reconcile with each other after the heated debates. I truly believe. You know what the Bible says one more time? Be angry. You can be angry, yet do not sin. Following with the semicolon, do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. In the same context of anger, how do we handle our anger? Bible says that, how do you not sin when you are angry? Let the sun do not go down on anger. That's God's way of handling it. So after the heated debate and argument, before the day ends, you say each other, sorry honey, I didn't mean to, and become friends again. That's the key. If we don't do it, the Bible says, then you may end up giving the devil, your enemy, an opportunity. Opportunity to do what? Split. Put the wedge on it and split the relationship you are in. A lot of us don't know the spiritual truth and let the devil take the opportunity, and no wonder a lot of relationships go bad after the arguments. You know, please allow me. I believe every relationship, and especially you, must have your own way of handling your anger. The Bible says, do not let the sun go down. By the end of the day, make sure that you reconcile with each other. As far as I'm concerned, you know, I followed God's command, and then I just came up a little, my own idea. From one day, I reduced down to 2 hours. You know how it goes. Heated debate and arguments, then complete silence. You don't speak to each other. Cold war sets in, right? And that's what I'm talking about. From that moment, the moment that I reconcile with my spouse, my wife, it's going to be, well, it used to be a whole day. Now it's 2 hours, and I reduced down to 30 minutes, and now my personal principle is 15 minutes. Is it easy? No, because most of the time I think I'm right. That's why I say you need practice and discipline. Okay? I think my wife will understand that. There was a time, I was falling at the time of a 30-minute break, whatever, and I was so mad that I just passed that. I didn't care, you know, I didn't. And she came to me and said, honey, your time is up. True story, folks. And with God's grace, you know, our relationship is still okay. So whatever it is, I think you need to have your own way of doing, how do I handle this anger, okay? Do not give the devil, your enemy, an opportunity to put the wedge and split up, okay? Never happen. Okay, as for closing, I will say this. We all take three approaches. You know, sometimes vent out our anger on other children or spouse, and sometimes we suppress and bury it deep within our subconsciousness, and other times we take it to the Lord. We all do three. The bottom line is this. The more we take our anger to the Lord, and the less we vent out anger on others or the barrier within, the better off we will be, spiritually and physically. I've been in ministry for 26 years, and sadly, I've observed some relationships in the church destroyed through uncontrolled anger or lack of reconciliation. I've also seen people carrying their anger deep inside for years, to the point where they don't know where they come from, that they get depressed or even suicidal. If you were one of these people that I mentioned, described, today is the time to let go of your anger into God's hands and let Him handle it. God will do the best job, but He only does only when you let Him. Start today, folks. Let's bow heads and pray. It is quite all right for us to be angry. But you say, do not sin when you are in anger. That's where most of us fail, Lord, myself included. Now we know the distinction. It is okay for us to be angry, but cool down. And how do I avoid that opportunity the devil is waiting for? Through my sin. And how do we avoid that? Lord, you taught us, let God handle my anger, especially the revenge part, and help us to obey you so that we may overcome evil with good. It's not going to be easy, but it is absolutely possible, and with our heart given to you, Lord, Lord, no matter what, I'll do it. And we'll see God's miracles happen every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.